What would you do with 30 extra minutes a day? With LG, that time starts coming back. LG appliances are built to make everyday life feel lighter. With LG, fewer laundry mistakes, fresher groceries, and easier cleanup add up to more time back. 30 extra minutes isn't just time saved, it's breakfast without rushing, dinner without stress, and one less thing to juggle. Smart performance, sleek style, and reliability for real life, that's LG. Get your time back with LG. See the latest models and savings now at LG.com.
Third hour, Darren Donick and Chase on this Monday afternoon. And every Monday at this time, you know we bring in Vince Ferrara from the Sports Animal WNML there in Knoxville. He's brought to you every week by Turner Security, powered by TechCore, for all your security and networking needs. There's been a little bit of a shakeup on Jeremy Pruitt's staff. The Vols have now dropped two in a row. They're now 2-2 and looking right in the lion's den at Alabama. That's what's next. Vince, how you doing?
I'm good, guys. How you doing?
Well, we're doing better than Tennessee right now. And I got to be honest, and I told you when we were texting back and forth, and these guys know it because on Friday's pick six, I picked not only the Vols to cover the spread of 6.5, I top-shelfed it. I really just thought they would bounce back and beat Kentucky. Kentucky was coming off a really nice win over Mississippi State. And, you know, history has shown Tennessee, even though there's been close and wild games, I mean, they had won 33 of their last 35. Kentucky hadn't won in Knoxville since 1984. And, you know, I've watched it my whole life. And so I've seen how this ends. But the pure domination of Kentucky on Saturday and just how pathetic Tennessee looked and how bad their quarterback play looks and how bad a lot of things looks really, really surprised me. Truth be told, I did not see that coming.
No doubt, and you're not the only one. And let's be honest, this was a no-win situation for Tennessee. Even if they were to blow out Kentucky, after losing to Georgia again and being 0-for in those big games in the league against Georgia, Florida, Bama, until they break through then, it's not going to prove anything to fans because we're a fair percentage of them and probably those on the outside as well because the win streak was largely against lesser competition. So they weren't going to get credit for Kentucky. And then you go, even if they were to win the game ugly, then fans would be unhappy with that. So they went the other extreme, and they got historically dominated and blown out inside of Neyland Stadium. So the level of anger and angst has probably gone back to the Georgia State level of the start of last year.
Wow.
That's where I think we're
I'm picturing
at.
A graph. As you're saying that, Vince, I'm picturing like a graph that's spiking up and down. Like, wait a minute. It's a roller coaster here.
Well, there's no doubt. And, we talked about it all off season. There was still plenty of optimism about this team going into this season because of the way they closed things out. And they didn't play all that well the first 2 weeks. Or they played inconsistent, I should say. They played well enough. But they out-talented their first two opponents for victories and extended the win streak. And reality hit in the second half against Georgia, and it's completely gone downhill. Now they're, again, similar to last year, now I think they're getting towards crossroads type of the stage, similar to when they had their backsides handed to them in Gainesville early last year. And they had to have a team meeting and get everybody on board and refocus, have the leaders, the senior leaders, make players accountable and do it before the entire season spirals out of control. I think this is going south quick, and obviously, as Darren mentioned, the opponent that's in front of you, we're getting closer to that stage already for Tennessee, and it's enhanced even more by the fact that it's only a 10-game schedule. And here's the thing, they don't have those senior leaders or as many of them like they did last year, the Petulis, the Jennings, you go on and on. There's a bunch of guys that help refocus this team. They've got Trey Smith, but Henry Toto is a good leader as a sophomore, but they don't have as many of those voices this year.
I know from our discussions, I mean, he's been the quarterback now for 3 years, that, you know, where the fan base is, and I can only imagine how much it's ramped up today and how much you've talked to us about Jarrett Garantano. I know he's made mistakes, and I know he has these games, right? But I'm just amazed that we're still talking, you know, having these games against Kentucky. It's one thing to have a bad second half against Georgia. I mean, but here's where I am with this, Vince, and I know probably a lot of people are. For all the praise that Jeremy Pruitt and his staff have gotten, rightfully so, with their presence on the recruiting trail and the players they've been able to bring in, the fact that he is still their best option at this point, when, you know, the book is out on him, right? There's really nothing new. We've seen this throughout Garantano's career at UT. The fact that they don't have really a better option is a little mind-blowing, considering how well they've done, you know, on the recruiting trail. Agree or disagree?
Well, a little bit is circumstance, especially with Harrison Bailey, because he was an early enrollee. So you were set up with this talented, highly rated, high four-star, low five-star quarterback. Now you have him as an early enrollee. So you were supposed to have him, super talented, get a jump start with a spring practice. That didn't happen. Normal offseason didn't happen. And then he missed a bunch of time in preseason camp. The SEC Network crew said he only got 10 snaps. I assume the 10 snaps means in scrimmage type of situation, but 10 snaps during fall camp. And that at one point, after he came back from contact tracing Bailey, they said on the broadcast he looked terrible. And then Pruitt was like, I can't keep using time to get a fourth-string quarterback ready, so we're going to pare it down to two. Brian Maurer's been dealing with a hamstring injury. He was a three-star, kind of a little bit of a hope project. He needed a quarterback in last year's class, and he didn't perform great when he was in games, lower than 50%, turned the ball over. And he's had some personal things that he's had to deal with as well. And then JT Shrout was a late fix when Adrian Martinez, the Nebraska quarterback, decommitted when they made the coaching change. So they needed, again, to find a quarterback, and he was available, three-star guy. I don't think he is an SEC-caliber quarterback
either. I was going to say, don't we know he's just – I mean, we just know. Like, honestly, Maurer and Shrout, they're just – Bailey, I get it, because of 2020. I understand that, you know, right, he's a freshman, but they know what they have in Shrout Maurer, don't they? I mean,
yes,
they're just not good enough at this level. So don't you have to force a freshman to get him more time to see if he can handle the SEC, or is that too much to ask of a freshman?
Well, here's the thing, Darren, is that he missed a lot of time at camp, so what they've been doing is they've been doing a young player scrimmage on Sundays. They did it again yesterday for the second time. The first one they did last Sunday, and Bailey got all 49 of those reps. So not only are they trying to make up for lost time, I think they're trying to fast-track him so they feel like he can handle being in a game and running the show. But because of the circumstances, he normally would be ready. Freshman quarterbacks play all the time. It's just that he doesn't have the kind of preparation time that a normal freshman would. So that's why it's not the easy decision to just give the freshman, the talented freshman that everybody wanted to see play, and at least give you some hope because you know what you have in your fifth-year quarterback. It's not that simple until Bailey's ready to play. Got some snaps, had a beautiful throw at a wide man on the sidelines, another freshman, but then missed on some other throws. And then, you know, we don't know from an assignment standpoint how he did and, you know, making sure they're in the right run plays and protections and some of the mental part of the game as well. So that's what makes it a little bit more difficult. I think here's what I expect. I expect, even though Pruitt today at the press conference did not commit, he said Jarrett's got to earn that. I expect Garantano to start against Alabama.
I agree. Yeah. You're just no better. You're not gonna throw Bailey out there against Alabama. I mean, we know that. And look, I'll just tell you, this is my personal opinion, Vince, and you tell me what you think. Every time he's tried to get, like, look, I know he's presented as, I just need Garantano to have a breather, to recollect his thoughts. That's not why he was doing it. Every time he's yanked Garantano, he's ticked. We got to do better. Put the new guy. And the problem is the new guys come in and they're no better. At times they've been worse. And so he has had to go back to Garantano. I don't think he's – if anybody was ever to come in and just light the game off – Garantano wasn't going back in. The problem is nobody's been able to do that, and so he's had to go back to Garantano, which, you know, settling down, you know, I guess pulling him, yanking him from a game, is maybe it has done something. But if they had anybody that could come in and do anything, he would never get back on the field, but they haven't been able to do that. Do you agree
totally
with that?
I agree. Yeah, I do. And look, Maurer, a couple of times when he played, including the bowl game, even got in, you know, he flashed, make a play or two, show his toughness, and then turn the ball over.
Right, I was going to say, then throws a pick. Right.
Right, right. Yeah. And so Stroud's in the same category. So I agree with you. Those guys are not the answer. It should be Bailey, but because of the circumstances, he's not as prepared as he normally would be. I think eventually they will go to Bailey, keep doing these Sunday. Interesting, they split the reps, according to Pruitt, on Sunday in the Sunday scrimmage between Maurer and Bailey. So now they may give Maurer one more look before they go to Bailey if the Bama game goes bad. Or it may be, hey, let's get Maurer some reps. So if we have to pull Garantano, it's Maurer we put in there throwing to the Wolves against Bama, and we save Bailey, which is, I think, the plan, for the bye week and then Arkansas after that. To me, that seems like the most likely scenario at quarterback right now.
We're talking to Vince Ferrara, Sports Animal over in Knoxville, as we always do, talking Big Orange here. So, Vince, you know, in looking at some of the throws, especially the one, you know, professional kind of throw, like the first one, is a deep throw. He had just thrown a missile a few plays before that, hit it right on the money, and then he tries it again and he gets it picked. Do you think, under the circumstances where they just know, now this is a very difficult thing to throw out there because you're playing Alabama, you know you got to score, but the knowing that you have a limited quarterback, whoever it's going to be, do you have to just try to go about it differently? In other words, you know, don't ask that much of your quarterback. Just see if you can do it from some runs, maybe some simpler throws, maybe some option, something to change the pace of how you're trying to call the game, what you're asking of your quarterback.
Well, based on Jim Chaney's resume and how much he's varied and changed what his philosophy and what he's done has been based on personnel, you would think that he would have some answers. The problem is that the O-line is not playing at the level, anything close to the level they should. And if they were dominant, they could run the ball and run it some more, dominate the time of possession, slow a game down, do your best to give them, you know, a better chance, not only against Alabama, but in other games to protect their quarterback a little bit and just trying to manage their way through it. Unfortunately, one, they haven't been as good at the line of scrimmage. Two, I don't think they're in a number of games this year, they've been as committed to the run game as they should early. Okay, maybe you get stopped a bunch, but maybe that pays off in the late third and fourth quarter. Maybe now you start to get those chunk plays. So that makes it more difficult for them to do it. He is best when they are able to play action, Garantano, and you make things simple for him. There's a bunch of things wrong with the first pick six. He motioned his receiver too late. So then another thing is the receiver didn't get off the line quick enough. As usual, he, as has happened a number of times, he stared down his receiver, so the DB had a chance to sit on it and and come back to it and know exactly where he was going. So, and then Jeremy Pruitt called out Shanny and said he didn't like the call. Third and four, you're throwing cross field like a 40-yard throw on a third and four. He's like, that's, you know, what's the risk versus reward? So he said
that's I think the essential part of my question is,
right,
you know, just because he has a really good arm doesn't mean that you have to ask him to make the John Elway kind of throw. I mean, that's a difficult throw for any quarterback, especially one that struggles. And against that team in that situation, do you really need that? You're not playing an explosive offense, right?
Yeah,
so punting the ball is okay.
Right. That was a third and four. That down a distance, you have plenty of options in your playbook. You can even still run the ball.
Exactly.
If you can do it well enough. But I don't think that Jim Chaney has that kind of confidence in his run game and his O-line right now. Garantano has – they throw to the outside with Garantano a lot more than they throw to the middle of the field in called plays, because I don't think they trust him as much in the middle of the field. And normally he makes the right decisions on those long throws. But, you know, nerves, whatever. He made the bad decision there, and then obviously – it's some of those are in play decisions where he had on the second interception, he had a check down, and instead he tried to fit a throw past the dropping Mike linebacker, and that got housed on them too. So some of those are calls, but some of that is the responsibility of the quarterback and what he sees and being able to go to different progressions and make those decisions. And when he's bad and turns the ball over, those things fail him as well.
This is an outside perspective, because I know where you are, Vince, it's going to be this all week, right? Scrutinizing the state of the program and why did they call this play. Is it possible, though, or do we have to factor in that Kentucky is better than people thought?
Well,
do you buy that or no?
I don't. No, personally,
I actually thought that in terms of point spread, I actually went Kentucky's way. I picked Tennessee to win, but I was too concerned about what I saw against Georgia, not just because of the opponent, but because of the inconsistencies that they had in the first couple of weeks, continuing now for a third week, and the line of scrimmage being an issue. I thought that Tennessee would win a close game, but I saw enough issues in the first 3 weeks that I expected it to be a close game. So, look, Kentucky, they could have easily won all their ball games this year because of missed PAT and then a bad call against Auburn. I don't think Kentucky's a great team, but I think they're a better team than what fans want to give them credit for, because with fans and the history of this rivalry, it doesn't matter where Kentucky is ranked, what the record is. Tennessee should always be Kentucky! Exclamation point to
exactly.
So many of the fans.
Yep.
And here's one of the things.
That's the same thing when Vanderbilt was having the success against Tennessee. Nobody would even stop to consider, well, Vanderbilt's way better than they normally are. That's why I asked the question.
Yeah, and then the picks against Mississippi State, the turnovers against Tennessee, the 10 turnovers over a 16 defensive possession stretch. Think about that. You turn two teams over 10 times in 16 drives.
It's amazing.
And that is just ridiculous. And this was the largest margin of victory for Kentucky in Knoxville obviously they hadn't won since 1984, but even when they have won historically, it's been by 6-7 points. Largest margin of victory since 1896. That was the first game of the series. The first game of the series. It was a 56-0 win when Kentucky was known as Kentucky A&M at the time.
Kentucky A&M.
So, I mean, it just, and even before that, the 1893,1893. Prior to that, the other largest margin of victory was 21 points in 1924. So that's another reason why it was historic, and embarrassing is the word that we hear the most. And this started in our post-game Saturday night, continued with our Sunday morning show. and has continued today. And like you said, Willie, it's going to continue this week and moving forward.
Vince Ferrara is with us, 99.1 The Sports Animal in Knoxville. So we know everybody's going to hate on the head coach. They're gonna go after Pruitt. They're gonna go after the program, the staff as a whole. But when does Philip Fulmer's name start coming up a little bit more? He gave him the contract extension. He's the AD. He's who everybody wanted to come save the program. But has that started yet? Do you think it starts anytime soon?
Well, you hear people making comments, and that the contract extension is something that's being thrown out a fair amount. And him getting the contract extension when he didn't deserve it, and where's the accountability? He's the same as Butch Jones. I mean, all these things that people probably that weren't vocal during the win streak have been saving and just waiting to unleash because they didn't buy in. Now we're hearing it from them. Social media, call-in shows, all the above. So, yeah, people are more comfortable speaking out right now and criticizing Pruitt, the contract. And Fulmer gets connected to it also. I think he is lower on the target list, Chase. I mean, it starts with Garantano. And then probably after that, it goes to Chris Winkie. but there's plenty of criticism of the quarterback coach, but there's plenty of criticism on Pruitt right now. And, again, it's not everybody, because they're the silent fans are the ones that are going to support the program and just are disappointed, but they're not going to be super vocal. But now it only grows once you start to hear it and hear it and hear it, and everybody else is like, yeah, well, I guess they're right. Yeah, that's true. That's a good point. So that's where it becomes a problem. But the hot seat is different from what the fans say and feel than what the university's hot seat is. As we talked about this during the Butch Jones era, it's different. And because that was a Fulmer hire, Fulmer is going to give Pruitt more rope and make sure that he is able to try to figure this out best he can, because his legacy is connected to the success of Jeremy Pruitt.
In fairness to this show, we questioned it the minute that news broke, so it was not after losing these last two and possibly the next three. Mm-hmm. We questioned the timing of this whole extension from jump. Yeah. Vince, always appreciate the visit. You have a great week, and we will certainly do it again next Monday.
Thanks, guys. Always enjoy. Appreciate you.
Vince Ferrara at Vince Sports on Twitter, and he's brought to you every Monday by Turner Security, powered by TechCore for all your security and networking needs. We will come back and we'll hear what Titans head coach Mike Vrabel has to say after yesterday's thrilling victory over the Texans in overtime. We'll do that next on Darren Donick and Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game.